If I can get your attention, please, we'll call the Mesa City Council meeting of Monday, April 7th, 2008 to order. We are going to start with an invocation from Executive Pastor Danny Dobson from the Central Christian Church of the East Valley. That will be followed by a Pledge of Allegiance from Bennett Carpenter from Brimhall Junior High, 7th grade, representing Troop 396 this evening. So would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the pledge.
Let's pray. Father God, we come before you tonight thanking you for the freedom that we have to assemble like this in a great country, in a great city, understanding and knowing, Father, the responsibility that lies upon all of us to do our very, very best, and that you have given to us that responsibility. And I pray just now for each of these council members, for their families, for their service. I pray, too, for wisdom and discernment that you would give on their behalf as they wrestle and struggle with the issues that face them and the issues that will keep our city moving forward. And I thank you, Father, that you will watch over them and protect them. And I ask that you give them guidance and that your presence would be here in this room tonight as they meet. And Father, we thank you again for the freedom that you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I would also like to recognize and welcome Dennis Cavanaugh, Alex Venter, and Dave Richens, council members-elect, that'll take office on June 2nd, are here this evening. We do have a mayor's race that will have an election coming up with Scott Smith and Rex Griswold still in the race, and also Dina Higgins and Phil Austin for the Council District 5. So if you're in District 5 or a citizen of Mesa, I hope you pay attention to those upcoming elections. The next item is the presentation of the 2007 Spirit of Mesa Neighborhood Awards. And I'm not... who's going to be conducting this? I know we have some council members making the awards. Please come on forward.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. This year, the Neighborhood Services Department received 17 nominations for the Spirit of Mesa Neighborhood Awards. The efforts to improve Mesa neighborhoods, as outlined in these applications, were exceptional this year. I would like to thank our panel of judges, which include community and neighborhood leaders, Austin Zapata, Carol McGuire, Steve Akita, and Nick Camalone, and Terry Benelli. They were all our judges this year. This year, we would like to present four awards in the area of neighborhood excellence and the Virginia Lamb Award for Outstanding Neighborhood Leadership. I would ask Councilmember Whalen to assist me in presenting the first Neighborhood Public Safety Award at the podium. This first award I would like to present is a Neighborhood Public Safety Award. The Sherwood neighborhood is being recognized tonight for their Block Watch program and for successfully gating their alley through the city's alley abandonment program. Neighborhoods partnered with Mesa United Way and the City of Mesa Pride grants to assist with the cost. Councilmember Whalen and I would like to present the 2007 Neighborhood Public Safety Award to Dick Dulcey, representing the residents of Sherwood Neighborhood Block Watch in Council District 2. Our next award is for neighborhood beautification. I would ask that Councilmember Tom Rawls assist me in presenting the award at the podium. Park Place Association is being honored for converting turf and adding low water use plants at their community park. The association's water bill at the park dropped from approximately $500 per month due to the turf reduction and new efficient sprinkler system that includes a rain sensor. Councilmember Rawls and I would like to present the 2007 Neighborhood Beautification Award to Suzanne Johnson, representing the residents of Park Place Association in Council District 3. Our next award is in the category of neighborhood events and community building. I would ask Councilmember Summers to assist me in presenting the award at the podium. Pioneer Estates 2 neighborhood is being recognized for holding several major events, including an Easter egg hunt in the park, clean sweep, a game event, and several brunch meetings. Councilmember Summers and I would like to present the 2007 Neighborhood Events and Community Building Award to Don Vanderwerf, representing the Pioneer Estates 2 in District 6. Our next award is the Margie Frost Neighborhood Advocacy and Organization Award. I would ask Councilmember Jones to assist me in presenting this award at the podium. The La Cruz neighborhood is being recognized for the Mesa Canal Project. On October 4th, 2007, more than 200 volunteers and residents transformed a dusty parcel into a neighborhood gathering place with a playground, two shaded sitting areas, and an educational area, which included two murals and a large map of the United States. I'd also like to say that members of the La Cruz neighborhood are also here in attendance in large group over here. And council member... Councilmember Jones and I would like to present the 2007 Margie Frost Neighborhood Advocacy and Organization Award to Teresa Salazar, representing the residents of La Cruz neighborhood in District 4. I would like Councilman Jones also to assist me in presenting the Virginia Lamb Outstanding Leadership Award. This year, the award is being shared by two people. Donna DeFrancesco and Teresa Salazar are being honored as instrumental leaders in their neighborhood. Donna and Teresa have worked together to organize and inform and motivate the neighbors to complete the Mesa Canal Project, transforming a vacant dirt lot filled with broken glass and garbage into a beautiful common area for residents to congregate and watch their children play. Councilmember Jones and I are pleased to present the Virginia Lamb Award for Outstanding Neighborhood Leadership to both Teresa Salazar and Donna DeFrancesco from Council District 4. Through their commitment and dedication, these award winners have improved the quality of life and sense of community within their neighborhoods and are truly an inspiration for us all to get involved in our neighborhoods. And at 6:30 tonight, a reception will be held at the Mesa Arts Center next to the Contemporary Arts Building to recognize the nominees and to honor our winners. Again, thank you.
I did indicate that there were a bunch of young individuals that came. I guess it helped on the canal project, and we were going to point you out and maybe swing a camera over that way. So if anybody's watching Channel 11 at home, you can verify that you did, in fact, attend a council meeting. Thank you very much for your involvement in the community. The next action for the City Council this evening will be to take action on the consent agenda. So we need to read that into the record. And this is usually the exit time. If there is a party at over at the Arts Center, or you can stay here and be entertained.
Start with me. Don't stare at me.
Give it a try.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There'll be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on location transfer liquor store license for Costco Wholesale number 1028-1444 South Sossaman Road. Item 4A, act on contract for one light duty replacement truck utility body, $30,866.52. Item 4B, act on contract for one replacement heavy duty truck with dump body, $112,306.11. Item 4C, act on contract for one replacement asphalt path paver, $97,030.64. Item 4D, act on two-year renewal supply contract for chip seal aggregate, $169,611.49 annually. Item 4E, act on contract for purchase of one replacement uninterruptible power supply, $39,113.63. Item 4F, act on contract for purchase of a wireless water pressure monitor system, $129,050.86. Item 4G, act on contract to ratify purchase of one replacement uninterruptible power supply, $88,745.01. Item 4H, act on contract to purchase large replacement water meters, $30,151.07. Item 4I, act on two-year renewal supply contract for automotive hydraulic hoses and fittings, $66,239.26 annually. Item 4M, act on contract for relocation of wastewater metering station, $95,449.20. Item 5A, introduce ordinance for April 21st, amend Mason City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 5B, introduce ordinance for April 21st, annexation case A07-38, annexation south and east of Ellsworth and Pecos Roads. Item 5C, introduce ordinance for April 21st, annexation case A07-39, annex south and west of Ellsworth and Pecos Roads. Item 5D, introduce ordinance for April 21st, zoning KZ08-13, 2000 North Hawes Road for a rezone. Item 5E, introduce ordinance for April 21st, zoning KZ08-14, 8800 East Elliott Road for a rezone. Item 5F, introduce ordinance for April 21st, zoning KZ08-15, 4608 East Virginia Street for a rezone. Item 6A, act on resolution to extinguish two temporary drainage easements at 342 West Baseline Road. Item 6B, act on resolution to extinguish a drainage easement at 8902 East Waltham Avenue. Item 6C, act on resolution to extinguish two temporary drainage easements at 5835 East Steel Circle. Item 6D, act on resolution to vacate alley at 1500 East Dover Street and 600 North Hunt Drive. Item 6E, act on resolution for cost sharing of a traffic signal at Broadway and Hawes Roads. Item 6F, to act on resolution to provide power from the Public Service Company of New Mexico to Coral Power, LLC. Item 6G, act on resolution to execute waiver of receipt of agricultural irrigation water service. Item 6N, act on resolution to order sale of $15,450,000 in principal amount of City of Mesa general obligation bonds. Item 6O, act on resolution to order sale of $52,875,000 principal amount of City of Mesa utility revenue bonds. Item 6P, act on resolution to order sale not to exceed $21,125,000 principal amount of utility refunding bonds. Item 7A, act on ordinance to amend Mesa City Code relating to particulate pollution. Item 7C, act on ordinance zoning case Z08-12, 5520 East Baseline Road for a rezone. Item 8A, act on subdivision plat legacy at Mountain Bridge, 8404 East Mountain Bridge Drive. Item 8B, act on subdivision plat, Eggs Place Amendment, 1200 South Sossaman Road. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Okay, are there any requests to remove any other items that were submitted?
No, Mayor, no additional requests.
Okay, I have a motion by the Vice Mayor for approval of the consent. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Jones. Any discussion? Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, just to reiterate downstairs, item 5E, I'm going to leave that on consent, but I do have concern on the design. This is an area around Elliott and Ellsworth Road. It's what we have been planning for around the Gateway Airport area. And see it as an urban center with high-quality design. This quite possibly is our 24th Street and Camelback as a comparison. The design as brought forward thus far doesn't meet that standard. However, I have been working with Mr. Dorita, who owns the property, to try to bring it up to that level, and hopefully we have some meetings later this week. We'll be able to work something out in the short order. So I will leave it on the consent agenda for introduction only.
Okay. Any other comments before we vote on the consent agenda? All right. Seeing none, would you please vote? Okay. The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. The first item that was not on is item 3B, and this is a liquor license application at 35 North Country Club Drive. And my understanding is that the fees have not been paid on this liquor license application, and staff is recommending a recommendation of denial for that reason. Is that the case? Jenny, you want to? Right. And you may want to try the pronunciation of this.
Taco y Marisco La Salsita.
All right. Thank you.
I took French in high school. 35 years ago.
Hey, it works.
Mayor, you're correct. Staff requests that you recommend denial of this application based on the fees not being paid for both the liquor license application and the transaction privilege tax license.
All right. Is the applicant here this evening? Okay. Somebody want to entertain a motion to that effect? Vice Mayor?
Thank you, Mayor. I will move for denial of the liquor license application based on the non-payment of fees for the transaction privilege tax license as well as the liquor license.
Okay.
Point of reference from the committee meeting or the meeting we had in downstairs last Thursday, aren't they also operating in the city without transaction privilege licenses and other businesses?
Yes. They have three businesses that are unlicensed.
I'd like to ask the motion maker if she would include that in the motion.
I am glad to amend the motion to include the fact that there are additional businesses in the city that they are operating without a transaction privilege tax license.
With that, I'll second the motion.
Okay. Actually, we have a second by Councilmember Summers on that already. All right. Any other discussion or suggestions on the motion? All right. Would you please vote? All right, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes for denial of this liquor license application for the reasons stated. The next item is on page 4, and let me just read 4, 5, and 6 have items 4J, 4K, 4L, and 4N that I've been informed by staff has some asphalt construction work that is involved. And I own some land that leases to companies that are engaged in that type of business, so I have a potential conflict. And I will declare that and refrain from discussion and voting on these items and turn it over to the Vice Mayor.
All right. With the approval of the City Attorney, I will read all four of these into the record and then take one motion on all four of them unless you have a problem with that, Ms. Spinner.
No, that's fine,
okay.
Vice Mayor.
Any council member object to my doing it that way? All right, then I'll do it that. 4J is to expand Desert Sage Pump Station Number 1. This project will increase the site's pumping capacity. It's recommended that the award go to the low bidder Weber Group for a total award of $343,017.40. 4K is to expand the County Line Pump Station Number 3. This project will increase the site's pumping capacity, and it's recommended that the award go to the low bidder Arizona Pipeline Company for a total award of $934,221.75. 4L is to convert the Highlands Pump Station to Range Rider Pump Station, and this project will convert an existing Highlands Pressure Zone Pump Station, which is no longer needed with the zone split, to serve the independent Range Rider Pressure Zone. It's recommended that the award go to the low bidder, Blue Core Contracting, for a total award of $748,933.90. And then skipping over to 4N, this is Keno Junior High School pool rehabilitation. This project will include replacement of the existing facilities with both recreational and competitive swim areas. It's recommended that the award of the construction phase service contract to Low Mountain Construction, just to remind everyone, this was a construction manager at risk project, with a guaranteed maximum price of total award of $8,192,831.85. That's a little bit different, Debbie, than we normally have it. Was that wording okay on that last one? Or do you want me to separate the guaranteed maximum price from the change allowance on that one?
Vice Mayor, that's fine.
Okay.
Reading of the agenda is actually, this is the final document and the final record, so it's fine.
Thank you. Were there any requests to speak on any of these items?
No requests, Vice Mayor.
All right. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Is there any council discussion on any of these items? All right. Then would you please vote? The motion carries with 6 ayes and the mayor abstaining because of conflict of interest.
Okay. That would put us over on page 9 of the agenda.
No, I've got to go back to
which one?
Nope, you're right. Never mind.
Okay.
I thought we skipped.
6H, this is approving and authorizing the city manager to proceed with an application to the Department of Housing and Urban Development for fiscal year 08-09 funding for nonprofit organization projects through the Community Development Block Grant Program. And Councilmember Jones.
Yes, because of some work I've done for nonprofit, I will recuse myself from this vote.
Okay. So noted. I have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters for approval, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Mayor. On items 6H through 6M, I'm going to be voting no, whether they're combined without conflicts or with conflicts. The reason is I've just become convinced that as a nation, we cannot continue our spending splurge, binge, whatever you call it. We are headed for financial disaster, and at some point somebody has to take their nose out of the trough, and I just think that we ought to set an example. So I won't say anything more on the other ones. That covers all 6 votes, but I will be voting no.
Okay. So noted. Any other discussion? All right. Would you please vote on 6H? Okay. The vote is 5 ayes, an abstention by Councilmember Jones, and a no vote by Councilmember Rawls. So it does pass. The next item is 6I, and I am going to combine 6I, J, K, and M into one vote. So 6I is approving and authorizing the city manager to proceed with an application to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, for 08-09 funding for city department projects through the Community Development Block Grant Programs, CDBG. 6J is approving the city manager to proceed with an application into the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, through the Maricopa Home Consortium for fiscal year 08-09 funding for nonprofit organization projects through the Home Investment Partnership Home Program. 6K is, again, the city manager to proceed with an application to HUD for Maricopa Home Consortium for fiscal year 08-09 funding for city department projects through the Home Investment Partnership Program. And the last one is M, is approving and authorizing the city manager to amend the fiscal year 2007 annual action plan to add rehabilitation at the Mesa Senior Center through a community development block grant program. So I have a like to entertain those four with one motion. All right, I have a blue card in support of 6J. Did Mr. Smith want to address the council? It's going to be approved at this point. Do you want to risk it? I guess so.
I don't think it's a risk. John R. Smith, president of Housing Our Communities, Mayor City Council. We just want to thank you for the opportunity that we've had to serve the families that are living and working in Mesa through our program. We've been doing this now for 20 years. And Mayor Hawker, you've been voting on us for 20 years and since our inception. And we've been very fortunate to help those first-time homebuyers purchase a home in our community. We see over 2,000 families and individuals every year. They go through education and counseling to learn to become homeowners so that they can have a financial management plan in place so that when they become homeowners, they can, in fact, make a difference in our community and put down roots. And we've been very fortunate in that and what we've been able to do over the last 20 years. Every 3 days, someone comes to our services that is not a homeowner and becomes one. Every 3 days, a new first-time homebuyer is produced through our program. What's amazing is, in those 20 years, we've only lost 4 loans to foreclosure since 1988. So the efforts that we make and the support that you give us and the support that city staff and the community gives us makes a difference because those families are prepared for homeownership. Absolutely, foreclosure is a big issue now and will be in the future. But we think those funds are invested properly, and by guidance, those families can, in fact, become investors in our community. They can put down their roots, and they can contribute to the community here in Mesa. We want to thank those families that have come to us. We want to thank you for that. And families come to us. People usually ask me, what is it you do besides all the other stuff of putting together grant applications and meeting with groups and contractors and realtors? Families come to us every day. They use our resources. They use our people. They use federal funds. They use it under the guidance of the city of Mesa, and they change their lives every day. So, Mayor Hawker, City Council, we want to thank you for that, and we appreciate that support.
Thank you. Are there any other requests to speak on these four items?
No additional, Mayor.
Okay. Then I have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters, seconded by Councilmember Summers for approval of items 6I, 6J, 6K, and 6M. Would you please vote? The vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay from Councilmember Rawls on all four of those items. That would take us then to item 6L and Councilmember Whalen.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the recipients, all of the recipients of the ESG grant program is Anu Leaf. Anu Leaf is a customer of my business. Therefore, I'll be declaring a conflict and not voting or discussing this issue.
Okay. Councilmember Jones.
Again, for some work I've done for some nonprofits here, I will not discuss or participate in the vote.
Okay. 6L is approving and authorizing the city manager to proceed with an application to the Department of Housing and Urban Development for 08-09 funding through the Emergency Shelter Grant Program. Have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters, seconded by Councilmember Summers for approval of 6L. Any discussion? No request to speak on this?
No request, Mayor.
Okay, would you please vote? Okay, the vote is 4 ayes, an abstention by Councilmember Whalen and Jones, and a negative vote by Councilmember Rawls. So it does pass. The next item is on page 11. This is zoning case Z08-05. It's located in District 3. This is the 2200 and 2300 block of South Country Club Drive, West Side, located south of Baseline Road on the west side of Country Club Drive. It's approximately 15 plus or minus acres. This is a site plan review and council use permit. And this request, if approved, will allow the development of a big box retail development in an M1 zoning district larger than 10,000 square feet. And we have some cards that have come forward for speakers. Let me go ahead and do our typical procedure, which is first the applicant, followed by the public, then staff, and lastly, the city council will weigh the issue before us tonight. So if the applicant wants to lead this one off.
Mayor and council members, good evening. For the record, my name is Ralph Pugh, and my office address is at 1930 East Brown Road in Mesa. It is a pleasure to be here this evening on behalf of Lowe's. Mr. Brad Urey and Mr. Anthony Farmand are here on behalf of Lowe's for this hearing. Mayor and council members, I know there's a lot of people who want to speak. Looks like a potentially lengthy agenda. I will be very brief and succinct and perhaps use our time more wisely to respond to issues that might come up if I could have a few minutes for rebuttal at the end.
Okay. I'm also, after you make your comments, we've had some legal issues on this one, so I'm going to ask our city attorney to also render her opinion and a report.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
All right.
The issue in front of you tonight, council members, is a request for a council use permit to allow the construction of a retail, large retail user over 10,000 square feet in an existing M1 zoning district. The site is 15 acres and it is located south of the southwest corner of Kiowa and Country Club. This is a picture of the location of the property. The other issue in front of you tonight is site plan approval for that Lowe's Home Improvement Center. Mayor and council member, there are several reasons why we urge your support of this case. Number one, the project comes to you with a recommendation of approval from the staff. We have read the staff report. We concur with the staff recommendations and agree with those. Number two, the project comes to you with a unanimous vote from the Planning and Zoning Board recommending approval of the council use permit and the site plan. Third, the Design Review Board has heard this case and approved the design elevations and the landscaping. Fourth, you have a letter and a memorandum from the Mesa Chamber of Commerce fully supporting the project and urging approval. You will hear in addition tonight residents who live in the area who do support the project. There is a misconception, I think, among some that there is a unanimous feeling of opposition from residential neighbors. That is not the case. You will hear from those tonight who support it. Finally, the important issue, Mayor and Council members, is that the project complies with the findings that are necessary for a council use permit. Two things the council must find in order to vote to approve a use permit. One is that the use is consistent and in harmony with the zoning code, the general plan, and other policies of the city. That issue has been fully addressed in your staff report. It has been fully debated by the Planning and Zoning Board, and both bodies recommend to you that it is consistent with those plans. And the important issue here, Mayor and Council members, is that the site is already zoned M1. There are no existing site plans. There are no existing approvals. It is hard M1 subject to future site plan review and approval. The second item is that you need to find that the project will not be detrimental or harmful to people living in the neighborhood or the community at large. We believe exactly the opposite is true. Frankly, we're somewhat surprised at the amount of opposition and the concern that has arisen from some of the neighborhood on this case. As you can see from the proposed site plan, if I could get Mr. Wright to turn to that, the site plan indicates a 243-foot buffer from residential neighbors to the south, a 227-foot buffer from property owners to the west, and a 261-foot buffer to property owners to the north. It is significantly buffered and designed. In connection with the case, though, several issues came out that I don't want to go into detail with you tonight unless they're raised, and that has to do with police protection. A thorough analysis has been done by your staff and from the police department, and they have no significant concerns. Others had to do with noise. When you consider a council use permit, it's really not a burden on the applicant to prove that that we'll meet the noise levels, but we did that in this case, and we gave a study that indicates that we will comply with the city noise ordinance. We comply with the city lighting ordinance. A traffic study has been submitted that indicates that the level of service at the intersections will not be deteriorated and that your traffic department recommends approval of this case. There also is the issue of emissions from vehicles. There's been a short analysis of that, that given the vehicles that come in and out of this location and the separation from the property owners, that also that is not a problem. It's very instructive, council members, to consider that there are other various locations throughout the community where large box users, frankly, exist in the immediate backyard of residences. And if I could get Tyler to turn to that one, we'll have to go back just briefly. Here are some examples. You have the Target at Gilbert and Southern. You have the Lowe's at Higley and the Freeway. You have the Home Depot at Broadway and Val Vista. And an example, you got the Kohl's and the Fry's taken together up there on McKellips and Wrecker. All of those projects are within probably 35 to 50 feet of residential dwelling units. So this separation is significant, and we believe that the project merits your support. There have also been a couple questions raised about property values. There has been no evidence, council members, at all, that property values are adversely affected. In fact, the analysis and study that we have done is exactly the opposite. The home values of property near the Lowe's at Higley and the Freeway have consistently increased in value. And frankly, in some instances, the homes closer to the Lowe's project sold for more per square foot than those in the community, close away from it. So there's just no truth to that argument. And finally, someone raised the issue of day laborers. Council members, there has not been in our community a concern with day laborers at any of our large home improvement warehouse facilities. The reason for that is because day laborers are typically located in the corridors and the areas where they have been for years. They stay in those quarters because they lack transportation to go elsewhere. And frankly, the best example of the fact is, if you go to Broadway and Gilbert, you'll see in the morning that there are day laborers there. If they wanted to, they could go 2 miles east and be at Home Depot and be all over that parking lot and area, and there isn't any problem. Mayor and council members, we urge your support of this case tonight. We have other information that we could share with you, but I think we'll respond to questions as they come up. Our final thought is this. This case has, in our opinion, become unnecessarily contentious. And we think the reason, in our opinion, is simple. We believe that those who oppose the Lowe's case genuinely believe that if the Lowe's case is denied, then an office project will be built on this property, very similar to what exists to the north. I can tell you tonight that will not happen. The office project is not in the plans by the property owner. The property owner developed the office project to the north. If there were a demand for it, it would have been built. And I think, honestly, the second and last reason that this case has, in our opinion, gotten out of control in its objection from neighbors is that I think genuinely, and this is just me thinking about it after all these years of doing this, I honestly believe that there are those who are here tonight who believe that if the Lowe's case is denied and subsequently an M1 use comes forward, automobile repair, heavy equipment repair, manufacturing, distribution, assembly, if a use like that comes forward, There may be those who believe that they could defeat that one too. Frankly, those uses can go 75 feet from the property line, and loading docks can be 50 feet away from a home. If we were here tonight talking about a distribution center for a Lowe's, think about that, or any other major manufacturer, the issue would not be a council use permit. It'd be a simple site plan. And the square footage would be tremendous, the trucks would be 24/7, and it would be an allowed use in the M1. It strikes us that a retail use with limited operating hours and no deliveries outside of those hours, separated from the neighbors with the buffer we have, is a fair and reasonable use, and we urge your vote of approval of this case. Thank you, Mayor. I'd be happy to answer questions if you have them.
Okay. Any questions at this time? Why don't you?
Thank you.
All right. City Attorney?
Thank you, Mayor. If I could ask staff to place the site plan there on the monitor for the council. Back in February, a deputy city manager asked the zoning administrator for an interpretation and two specific questions. And the reason for those questions were that we anticipated that the issue may come up. And if a protest were filed, two questions were, how would you interpret these provisions? And on the you can see that the green is the buffer zone. And on the south side and the west side of the site plan, that buffer exceeds 150 feet. So that was not a question. The council use permit provides a sufficient buffer between the boundary of the council use permit and the residence. So that area was not in question. Where the question arose was on the north side of the site plan, and you can see that is not 150 feet from the council use boundary to the property line. So the question for the zoning administrator was, how would you interpret this for the northern boundary? And specifically, you can see that the site plan is not a uniform side there. There is the western portion, or the northwestern portion of the site plan in the council use permit area is extended further to the north than the, you're challenging my direction, the northeastern part, of the site plan. So the question was, is that under our zoning code considered one side, or is it multiple sides and under the Mesa City Code? That was question number one. And the zoning administrator rendered the opinion that it's one side and that you would simply take 150 feet from those sides and extend it out to see where the 150-foot radius for who could file a protest under our code. The second issue for the zoning administrator was where the, if we go back to the site plan, you can see there's a break in the green in the middle of the northern portion where there's a right-of-way remnant. How would you calculate the 150-foot radius in that particular area? And the zoning administrator rendered his opinion and gave that opinion. That opinion was issued in March. In 30 days from there, the residents on the western and southern portions appealed that decision to the Board of Adjustment. The question now before this council is that the residents are seeking a continuance of the council decision until the Board of Adjustment has an opportunity to review that zoning administrator's opinion. In reviewing it, in our opinion, the case is not stayed. Although the code does say that the case appealed is stayed, they did not protest this case. Therefore, they are not appealing this particular case. They are appealing an opinion of the zoning administrator, and that is more of a generic opinion on how you calculate the 150-foot radius. It is not specific to this case. It is more an interpretation of our code. If the residents had filed a protest and then appealed the decision of the zoning administrator, then we may be staying the proceedings. But the case that is presently pending before the Board of Adjustment has no specific application to this case that is now pending before this council. So the council has the discretion. You can either move forward and decide this case tonight, or if council chooses, you certainly have the opportunity to continue it as well.
Okay, questions of the city attorney? Mr. Truitt.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, my main question is, with the interpretation that the zoning administrator rendered, did that somehow mean that the office parcel kind of east of Vineyard and north of Kiowa would not be able to file, that their protest would not be valid?
No, it did not. Councilmember Truitt, the zoning administrator's opinion did not address any specific property owner's right or ability to file a protest.
Not their right. That's not what I asked. The question is, if the zoning administrator was correct and they had filed a protest, would their protest have been valid?
Would it have been accepted?
Yes.
It would have been accepted.
Not accepted. Would have been effective.
Legally
effective here at the council meeting tonight.
Well, let me tell you the process that we would follow. What would happen is, once the protest is filed, then the zoning administrator or planning would conduct their analysis to determine were they within 150 feet of the council use permit boundary, and second, is the affected area 20% of the, let me use specifically Mr. Burton, his property. What amount of Mr. Burton's property was affected by this council use permit or falls within the 150 feet? Is that portion, does that constitute 20% of the entire area that is potentially affected?
For all sides or just the north side?
Maybe I can show you a different map up on the Elmo that might help explain it.
Hey, welcome to.
And I'll tell you, the staff never reached that point because they would not go through that process or that exercise until a protest is received. So, no, I know, council member, but what I'm trying to say is they did not make a determination whether it would have been effective because the protest was never filed. Now, I can tell you I asked the zoning administrator to take a look at that today and look at it and decide, would he have complied with the statute or the Mesa City Code, and would it have constituted 20%? So I can tell you the answer today based on his analysis today. At the time that the protest was done or should have been filed, and at the time he rendered his opinion that is now being challenged, that process had never been completed because it was simply, if a protest is received, here's the process we would go through to decide if he meets all the criteria set out in the code.
I'd like the answer that you just said you could give me.
Would you like to see the map?
I guess. You said you could tell me today.
Right.
Yes.
Let me go to the MO. Keep trying. You're good.
We have a, let me see if I can, Tom, you want to try it? I think it's.
I need to turn the computer off there. Get rid of the computer one and go to the Elmo.
I'm sorry?
I need to, some, there you go.
There you go.
Okay.
Here, we got it.
Okay, Debbie, let me try to restate the question. And Darrell, if I don't get it right, you can correct me. But based upon what the zoning administrator did today, the analysis that he conducted today, if Mr. Burton had filed a legal protest in a timely manner, would staff had considered it legally valid?
It would have been accepted, but based on the analysis done today, he would not have met the criteria set forth in the code.
So there would not have been an effective legal protest before this council?
That's correct.
There would not have been a supermajority vote required?
That's correct.
Does that answer your question?
That's a lot better.
Okay. And you can see here the basis for it. Here is the portion of Mr. Burton's property that is affected by the council use permit. Now, this is assuming that the council use permit, the 150 feet, is measured from the council use permit boundary outward or northward. That is the amount of property of Mr. Burton that would be impacted. And I think it says 3.6% there. Under our code, it would have to constitute 20% of the affected area. So under that analysis, it would not have constituted a valid legal protest under our code.
All right. Any other questions? Vice Mayor.
I'm giving you time, Debbie, to walk back. Debbie, an applicant has to, a property owner has to go through a process. They have to go to Board of Adjustments before they can appeal a decision of a zoning administrator to Superior Court. Is that correct?
The developer must, or the applicant.
The applicant, property owner, whatever we want to call that person. What about somebody who's protesting, like let's use the neighbors or Mr. Burton? What process do they have to go through? Or if they disagreed with the decision of the council, then what are their remedies?
They can file suit in Superior Court. We would obviously argue that there was another process, but they are not required to go through all of the administrative process set forth in our code in order to file a lawsuit in Superior Court.
Okay, thank you.
And if Mr. Burton, to be more specific, if Mr. Burton had filed an legal protest in a timely manner, the staff had done the interpretation you just told us that they had done and had come to the conclusion that it was not a legally effective protest, Mr. Burton could take that case to Superior Court without going through the Board of Adjustments, without going through any appeal, short of just going straight to Superior Court.
That's correct, Council Member.
All right, Vice Mayor.
Okay, there's an appeal right now that's going to go in front of the Board of Adjustments. The Board of Adjustment will look at that. Suppose they find that they disagree with the decision of the zoning administrator. Could that have an impact on the measurement of the distance and the percentage involved? And would that percentage then rise to a level that would be the 20%?
Given the status of this case now, no, it would not, because they did not file a protest. So again, they did not appeal this specific case. They appealed an individual decision of the zoning administrator.
Do you know the answer if they had appealed?
I guess it would depend on what they...
I'm sorry, if they had filed in a timely... If Mr. Burton had filed in a timely manner and preserved his right...
The only way it would, Vice Mayor, is if the zoning administrator determined that the proper place to begin the measurement is not at the council use permit boundary, but instead at the property line boundary.
Okay.
But there is a case, it's the Schwartz case, is very much on point, that said it is appropriate and it is legal for a property owner to only have the council use permit in a designated area. It's not from the boundaries, or it's not from the property line boundaries. They can narrow the council use permit area within their parcel.
Thank you.
For that matter, this isn't our first go at this as a council. We've considered council use permits before. Historically, how have we done that? When we've made the notification to the neighbors from with the 150 feet from, was it been from the property line of the strip center where the CUP would be located, or is it from the CUP facility itself?
Councilmember Summers, this interpretation of the zoning administrator is consistent with how we have done it in the past. For example, tattoo parlors or other uses such as that, we measure from the facility itself. We do not attach that council use permit to the entire strip mall or other parcel that it may be included in.
I'm thinking one in my district, which was, I hate to bring it up, the Hurricane Bay case, and that was, we had the same argument. And if you recall, do you recall what the, where we measured from? Was it the property line or the?
Let me ask Don. I don't remember specifically that program. Donna says that it was measured consistent with this project now. It was within just the parcel itself, where the facility for Hurricane Bay, it was not in the entire property parcel.
Okay, so it's being consistently applied at least the 2 years I've been here.
That's correct.
Councilmember Rawls.
Mayor, I don't know what your intents are, what the thoughts of the council are, but I think we probably need to get the continuance issue out of the way before we proceed, because if there's sentiment to continue it, we ought to do so. I don't know if there is. I'm going to try to explain why I don't think a continuance is appropriate and then let people react to that. Do you disagree, Claudia, on the procedure? Okay, what would you like? Do you like to hear from everyone first?
Well, I think that there's some people who want to talk on the continuance issue, and so if are shortcutting that, I think that that's not fair.
Okay, I didn't realize that there were cards for just that issue. I would have assumed they
were.
Well,
I think they're going to wrap it into other things that they're saying.
Then if, I mean, I just...
I understand what
you're trying to do. I don't want to hear, if we're going to continue it, I don't want to hear 6 hours of testimony. If we're not going to continue it, then the 6 hours of testimony is appropriate. But on the other hand, maybe we can't keep it quite that clean, and so I'm willing to defer to, perhaps we could ask people to, Mayor, you're in charge. I won't even try to guess how to cut this knot.
Okay. We have a number of cards of individuals that wanted to speak. They have decided not to have a spokesperson, I believe, this evening. Is that correct? I did receive one email saying that there was going to be a spokesperson. Is that still in effect or not? It doesn't appear to be.
We have a spokesperson and we also want
to
speak.
So is there a spokesperson for this pile of cards?
But then there are the names and want to speak in addition.
Then.
Okay, usually the spokesperson has the cards behind them. So that, was it sent, is this?
They don't want to speak, no spokesperson.
I don't think so either. Okay. All right. Well, we have a policy of allowing citizens to come forward and speaking for 3 minutes, and I'll certainly honor that this evening if you think it's to your advantage to repeat other things that have been said or whatever. So.
Mayor, what about last time? I recollect we gave the applicant 10 minutes, and then, well, this was the planning and zoning, they gave the spokesman for the neighbors 10 minutes. And then we had 3 minutes after that to talk.
If there is a spokesperson for the neighbors, but the spokesperson for the neighbors normally has the cards that they are representing which individuals behind their name.
We didn't realize that was the process. We thought when we turned in Mr. Wesley that
if
we
that, okay, but if that is your intent, why don't we go ahead and...
Thank you, Mayor.
Could everyone that he is representing as their spokesperson raise your hand so I can see
who that is?
That's right.
Right.
He's not the only one who wants to speak.
Let me say it one more time. Would the people that the spokesperson is representing tonight...
For the issue, that it, the issue that I'm going to present.
But the rest of us have a chance to speak after that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But so everyone with their hand up, he is speaking for you tonight.
Do we get to speak after, though?
No. I want to know how many people this gentleman is representing in the audience.
No.
You are representing one.
Speaking for.
All right, then you have 3 minutes as a representative for that person.
Two hands over there.
There's more people.
Kino, two over there.
Get more people there.
And there's, you've got four. There's another one over there. There's five.
Mayor,
I do say, I will be on point for Councilmember Rawls and address this. I think we can resolve this.
Well, resolve it for who? Yourself or for some of the individuals this evening? I'm trying to figure out if you're a legitimate spokesperson for people in the audience, and I'm asking them if he is your representative, you're not speaking, he is for you tonight. How much time can I allocate him? Can I give him 10 minutes or is that not fair? So if you raise your hand, that's your spokesperson, you're not speaking. How many hands are up?
One, two, three, four. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Go ahead and take your 10 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members.
And I get better my not see any of those hands up here at the podium. All right, please, go ahead.
For the record, my name is Robert Emmelkamp, 2605 South Orange Mesa. I'd like to start by thanking the mayor and council members for this opportunity to address the city council. You're likely to hear some very emotional appeals from my neighbors this evening. The only thing that gets us more upset than the thought of Lowe's next to our homes is the denial of our right to due process, which is the issue that we want to present for you. Due process was originally defined in the Magna Carta, but the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, And just the highlighted portion would be that not to deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And that's all we would like tonight is the equity and fairness that was granted. To refresh the council and go through what the normal process is prescribed by the zoning ordinance, the normal process is that a request for a zoning ordinance interpretation would be submitted to the zoning administrator. And I wanted to remind the council, too, that this process was followed by the applicant 1 year ago today that went through a very, very similar to this as I will describe it tonight. The zoning administrator, after there's been a request for an interpretation, the zoning administrator would issue that interpretation. Then an appeal of the zoning administrator's interpretation must be filed within 30 days of that being issued. Per Mesa Zoning Ordinance Section 1118-5E2, an appeal of the zoning administrator's interpretation stays all proceedings in the matter appealed from. And I'll bring that back to the city attorney for a second. Then a public hearing by the Board of Adjustment is scheduled to occur. And after the Board of Adjustment makes its ruling, a complaint of special action in Superior Court can be filed within 30 days of the Board's ruling to review the Board's decision. The process that has occurred so far in case Z0805, the Deputy City Manager, Carolyn Kemp, requested an interpretation of the zoning ordinance by the zoning administrator as it pertained specifically to case Z0805. It was not a general interpretation. It was not an interpretation that said, well, what if some generic process was filed or other things? So it was a specific interpretation. The zoning administrator made his interpretation on March 3rd, notified the parties of the April 2nd deadline for filing an appeal of that interpretation. An appeal of the zoning administrator's interpretation was filed on April 1st, 2008, with a fee paid of $389. All proceedings in the matter appealed obviously have not been stayed since we are in front of you tonight. The City Council can put this process back on its normal course by granting a 60-day continuance on case Z0805. We're asking for your support of a continuance since the zoning administrator, I'll have that right by the end of the night, issued his interpretation as it applied explicitly to case Z0805 rather than a general interpretation. The appeal of this interpretation should trigger the automatic stay of all proceedings in case Z0805 as prescribed by Mesa Zoning Ordinance Section 1185E2. Related to those appeals, I will once again say that this, very specifically, this is right out of the code, and Mr. Pugh knows it well, the appeal stays all proceedings in the matter appealed from unless the zoning administrator certifies the board that a stay would cause imminent peril to life or property. There will be no harm to the applicant or the zoning process by granting a 60-day continuance so that the citizens of Mesa can follow the appeals process as prescribed by the Mesa zoning ordinances. The applicant was granted two continuances from February 20th, 2007 to May 21st, 2007 in order to pursue the same appeals process that we are just trying to go through the same thing that Mr. Pugh and the applicant did at that time. The citizens of Mesa should have the same right to due process as the applicant. If I could, can we pull up on this. Can we get the overhead up, please?
If you want to show the one that's there now.
Should we stop? Thank you. Oh, sorry. This is the memorandum that was issued by Gordon Sheffield. And I just want to, one of the things I want to point out to the council is not only was the subject of the memorandum interpretation of zoning ordinance as applied to zoning case Z0805, but when he issued his interpretation, he specifically said, as it applies to the conditions present for zoning case Z0805. So it was not a generic opinion. It was specific to this case, and so the automatic stay proceeding should be in effect. The City Council exists really to protect the rights of all of its citizens. We are asking the council to vote on something far more important than whether a Lowe's should be granted a permit for this location at this time. We are asking you to vote on whether the citizens of Mesa have the same rights to due process as have already been given to the applicant. I thank you for your time. I'm available to answer any questions. And again, I would say one other thing to the issue of legal protest. We are not bringing that up. We understand and we agree with the contention that if a legal protest had been filed in a timely manner, that would have changed some of the things here. What we are saying is that the appeal, because it was an appeal of an opinion specific to this case, that it automatically triggers an automatic stay, and that we are asking for 60 days continuance because there's obviously an opportunity to readdress this in maybe 30 or 45 days, but Mr. Pugh took 60 days to work through the appeals process, and I would be disingenuous to this council to ask for less than that when we don't have the resources that Mr. Pugh had to work through the appeals process. So I ask you to support, I ask you to make a motion for a 60-day continuance and that you allow us that opportunity to pursue our rights as you let the applicant pursue. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you. Let me go ahead and go through some of the cards that I have, or do you have a question? No? All right. I've got a fairly good pile here. So Cheryl Hartzler, followed by Jim Hartzler, and then Matt Tallman.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Mayor, Council, and Council members. I'm Cheryl Hartzler. I live at 766 West Medina.
You want to straighten that microphone to make sure they can. It looks like it's twisted just a little bit. There you go. Or wherever you're. There you go. Let's try that.
All right. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Please go ahead.
Good evening still. My name is Cheryl Hartzler. I live at 766 West Medina in Mesa, 85210, and that is in Hunters Ridge. First of all, thank you for all you do. It's a job that a lot of us wouldn't want, so we thank you for all your support. Living in the neighborhood for 20 years, I have been seen many changes, people coming and going, yet businesses have not been moving into our many empty shopping centers surrounding us. If you were to take a square mile around this area, you would find many of those empty centers. Having a big box and a friendly neighbor like Lowell's is positive for our community. Dealing with one quality landlord would be easy for we, the neighborhood, and many of the city departments. Changes do happen. Extension was never to go south to Guadalupe from Baseline. It did, and we found a way to put in a speed hump, a bike lane, and stop sign to deal with it. I am very proud to live in our community, and I will continue to live in our community, and I thank you for your yes vote. Thank you.
Jim Hartzler, followed by Matt Tallman.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Jim Hartzler, Hartzler. I'm at 766 West Medina, 85210, that is in Hunters Ridge. I'm in support of the Lowe's project on Arizona Avenue between Baseline Road and Guadalupe Road in Mesa. Lowe's is a quality, community-minded business. Can't even read. Sorry. If you visit their locations, you will see that they keep up the inside as well as the exterior property to very high standards. I have been a City of Mesa homeowner since December 1973. I have been in my present home since July 1981. Our property does not share a boundary with the Lowe's project. However, we are within 1,200 feet of it. I feel this is a very good use of this very valuable piece of vacant land. Please vote yes on the Lowe's project. Thank you for your time and consideration of my views. Thank you.
Okay. Matt Tallman, followed by Bruce Greavy, McGreavy.
Mayor and council members. If things had gone my way in the election, I would have been seeing where you are come June, but it didn't. And this is a tough situation, tough case, but being consistent with the campaign that I run, in that Mesa needs to put forth a good image to attract good business to Mesa. Lowell's is a good company. They do great things in the community. While there may be those who protest, don't like the design and whatever else, the fact of the matter is Mesa needs revenues that these big box retails bring to Mesa. And one way that we can forward that process is by voting yes on this. Letting Lowe's come in. Lowe's is a good neighbor, like I said before. They do good things. There are many examples out throughout the community, throughout the United States. So, again, I urge you to vote yes. Thanks.
Okay. Bruce McGreevy, followed by David Briesler. Probably have the last name wrong.
Good evening. My name is Bruce McGreevy, 2536 South Hossick in Rancho Del Mar. Can I use the overhead projector here?
Give it a try. Put the paper down. Yep, it's up. Magic.
Okay, great. What I did is I took some pictures of the property where Lowe's wants to build this to give you an idea of what we're at now. This picture here is along Country Club, and what you're looking at is a bunch of tree stumps and a dead tree along the line. These trees were cut down because they died, somewhat of an eyesore. This is the proposed driveway to Lowe's. That arrow is pointing at a pile of trash which was dumped there. This is also becoming a popular spot to park cars with for sale signs on them. This is a rather large pile of debris. It's building material, apparently, and one would need a dump truck to dump it there. This is the same pile from a different angle, and that arrow there is pointing to the sign which says no dumping. This here is another corner of the lot, more building material dumped. This is a wall along Hunter's Ridge. What you're seeing there is some pine tree branches that were dumped. Ironically, there's a trimmed pine tree on the other side of that wall. This is also along Hunter's Ridge. We have palm trees dumped. On the other side of the wall are some palm trees. This is also along Hunter's Ridge. This one's kind of disturbing. This isn't just a wall along a vacant lot. On the other side of that wall is somebody's home, and somebody, some graffiti artist, was kind enough to decorate it with a dead man and a skull. Also, at the top of the wall, you can see where it's been raised. For some reason, a number of the homeowners along there wanted to raise the height of that wall. I don't know, to block their view of what, a vacant lot. I'm not quite sure. This is more graffiti, and just over the top of that wall, it appears to be somebody's swing set or playground or something in their backyard. There again, I wasn't really aware of the condition of this lot until I started walking around. I'm sure a lot of homeowners aren't either. This is the wall along Rancho Del Mar, and what you're seeing is a bunch of painted up spots, and those painted spots are covering graffiti. My compliments to whoever keeps up and keeps it covered. This is Vineyard, just north of Kiowa. Those arrows are pointing at signs offering office space for rent. It just goes to show why offices aren't being built at this location now, because there is a glut of office space.
Bruce, your time's about up, so I need you to wrap it up.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you very much.
That worked. Perfect. David Briesler, followed by Terry Smithers.
Good evening, Mayor. David Breslauer, by the way.
Breslauer.
558 West Monte Avenue. I am in Rancho Del Mar. First, I'd like to say that I am in favor of Lowe's and opposed to any continuance that might be presented on this case. As for Lowe's, they are continually proving to me, anyway, that they're a good neighbor. I've looked at all the properties that they own in the city of Mesa, and we need more of this type of company to support the homeowners in our community. I believe they'll bring jobs. I also believe that the alternatives to what could go into this lot would be much worse than what is being offered. The bottom line is really what's best for the city of Mesa. And I've been sitting here watching, saying shop, continue to support Mesa and shop in Mesa. Well, there's a Lowe's in Gilbert, there's a Lowe's in Chandler, and those are the ones that I support. If there was a Lowe's in this parcel, I would support it and stay and keep my support with the city of Mesa. That's really all I have to say, and thank you for your time.
Terry Smithers, followed by Robert Immelkamp.
You did me.
No.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Terry Smithers. I'm at 663
West Natal Circle in Rancho Del Mar subdivision. I've been a resident there for 15 years. I built my first home there, and I also bought my second home in that subdivision because I liked it so much. Tonight, I suspect you will hear from the opposition talk about how lows on this particular piece of property will cause deterioration of our property values and our quality of life. They've spent a lot of time, effort, and money into this opposition. I believe that there are other things happening inside the walls of our Rancho Del Mar subdivision that may already be jeopardizing our property values and our quality of life. I live right across the street from Rancho Del Mar Park. I have two small children, and there have been many times where I haven't let them go across the street because of some questionable behavior that goes on in that park, especially after the lights go out after 10 o'clock. And it gets worse in the summer. I commend our police department for coming and monitoring that park on a more regular basis, and it's gotten much better. But it's still an issue. We have had recently several home break-ins. We've had several stolen cars. And most recently, we had a police bait car program in our neighborhood. I have heard of and have heard confirmations of several drug homes in our neighborhood. That's been confirmed by several police officers that live in our neighborhood, both within Mesa and Phoenix. We have terrible deterioration of the perimeter walls of our neighborhood. All the entrance signs into our neighborhood in Rancho Del Mar, the tile is falling off. Landscape isn't maintained. So these are all issues that I believe affect our property values. Lowe's has nothing to do with any of these issues. It is my belief that through conversation that I have already had with Lowe's, that I believe they are good neighbors. I believe they will endeavor to continue to be good neighbors with not only our neighborhood, but Hunter's Ridge as well. I would hope that when this is over, whether it's a yes vote or a no vote, that the opposition will spend as much time, effort, and money into some of these issues that are already taking place inside of our own walls as they did for this issue, because we need it. We desperately need it. This lot that we're speaking of needs development. The gentleman before us spoke about that. He showed you pictures. You see what it looks like. I don't think I need to go into detail about what it attracts on that neighborhood, what it attracts on that property. I do believe Lowe's is a good neighbor. I do believe they will do good things there. I believe they will continue to invest time and effort into their own property, into our community. I believe they're good for our city. I believe they're good for our neighborhood and our community. And I am very much in favor of Lowe's, and I am opposed to any continuance at this time. Thank you very much for your time.
Dennis Kavanaugh, followed by Jason Sanks.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Dennis Kavanaugh, and I live at 2146 West Isabella. I'm here tonight speaking in favor of the continuance and in opposition to the underlying case. However, I'm not opposed to Lowe's. They are an excellent corporate citizen. They will be a welcome addition to West Mesa. However, I believe to approve this particular location, the council would be breaking a commitment made previously to protect this neighborhood. As you know, or you should know, residential uses originally were not permitted in this area. Many years ago, the city council at that time was persuaded by a very good young zoning attorney, Mr. Pugh, to permit residential uses in this area. And at that time, the council was warned about the potential for incompatible uses and for contentious council meetings in the future, given the conflict between residential zoning and manufacturing. But homes were approved, and the die was cast. In 1997, when I served on the city council, we were asked by Mr. Pugh to approve a car dealership on the same site. And again, we had long, contentious meetings. That case really led to the development of the Citizen Participation Ordinance in Mesa. The city council at that time worked with the applicant, worked with the neighborhood to craft a compromise use for a business park site plan. Since that time, the residents of this area, the neighborhoods, have relied on that council decision to protect them. You might understand then that approval of this case might seem to the neighbors
that the city is breaking that commitment to protect them. Because it's true that decisions like this can certainly affect trust and credibility that people have towards our city government. And this is a neighborhood that consistently has supported city leaders on bond issues and other ballot measures. They have been leaders in establishing Block Watch in their neighborhood and in having a safe neighborhood. Big box uses directly adjacent to residential uses do create challenges for all concerned, and they're tough issues to solve between the applicant and the neighborhoods. I believe there are better locations for Lowe's in West Mesa that would not adversely affect homes. So I would urge you to grant the continuance and to deny the underlying case. Thank you.
Jason Sinks, and then Natalie Hassler.
Good evening, Mayor Hawker and members of the council. I'd like to ask the city clerk to distribute my one-page handout. First, I would like to thank you to present tonight. My name is, again, Jason Sanks at 1806 East L Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85042. I am a planner, and I am a friend of the neighbors. I'm not here representing them as their keynote speaker. I'd like to bring your attention to what I believe is the elephant in the room, and that is I flatly disagree with staff and the Planning and Zoning Board's recommendation on this case. The general plan reads very clearly that the business park designation is for professional and medical office parks, research and development opportunities integrated in a campus setting with ancillary restaurants, retail, and other supportive establishments. I have not heard any findings made by the Planning and Zoning Board or any other interested parties as to how that in any way meets that intent. Second, the Mesa Zoning Code, Section 11-71B, says the purpose of this district, that is M1, is to provide for limited manufacturing, processing, warehousing, and other uses. Those are supposed to occur indoors. Lastly, the council use permit. This council is required to make the findings that this proposed activity is in conformance with the intent of the code and the general plan. I'm not sure where we even get to in negative impacts because I don't see how this meets the intent of either of those documents. I'd really like someone to make those findings tonight should they be able to be made. I don't see it. I'd like to address some of the things that have been said tonight, because I believe it'll be the only chance for the neighbors to rebut. I want to address negative impacts. A traffic study doesn't tell you if it's going to have a negative impact or not. It tells you the capacity of roadways to handle the traffic. It doesn't say, oh, it's okay that this use will have three times more traffic than a business park use. The noise study says noise will meet City of Mesa maximum limits at the property line. What it doesn't say is that there will be approximately 44 hours of additional activity occurring on this property than an otherwise business park use. That's noise that's occurring daily, nightly, and on weekends. I do not believe that this issue of conformance to the general plan and zoning code was fully debated. I think that the applicant has done an excellent job of speaking on the sidelines of this issue in and around the core issue of this, and that is nonconformance. And staff has unfortunately magically found support for this case after 6 months of not being supportive of this case after its initial inception over a year and a half ago. I'd like to bring your attention to big box stores that have not had such success next to neighborhoods, and you might check the Safeway near Valvista and Warner and the numerous complaints from residents to the Town of Gilbert Code Compliance Department. And I do respect all of the neighbors that have spoken in favor on this case, but I'd like to bring your attention to some of their arguments. One, this is not a tax revenue issue. This is a land use decision. The property maintenance issues, I think they shouldn't be rewarded to the applicant with an approval of this council use permit. They should be mitigated through your neighborhood services department. And best for Mesa to shop Mesa. Everyone in here can agree to that. It could just be done somewhere else. And lastly, the problems occurring internally to Rancho Del Mar need to be addressed at a separate hearing and not here, as well as trying to discuss or anticipate what the Board of Adjustment might rule on. We should be having that hearing here tonight. I'm out of time. Thank you.
Sure. Natalie Hassler, followed by Rick Rumick.
Good evening. My name is Natalie Hassler. I reside at 2428 South Colleen Street in Rancho Del Mar. And I want to thank you, Mayor Hawker, and council members for the opportunity to talk to you tonight. I request that you respect our appeal of the Zoning Administrator's ruling of March 3, 2008, which was specific to case Z0805, and that you do, in fact, grant us a 60-day continuance. To deny us our right to this appeal is, in essence, denial of our right to due process as citizens of this community. I'm getting really tired of all the bad press that Mesa receives about distrust of its city's government. It doesn't feel good to live in a city with this reputation. I was recently reading an article in the March issue of Phoenix Magazine about the mayoral election here. It noted that many Valley cities have fiscal problems, but that Mesa stands alone in the distrust its citizens have for its government. I'm standing here before you because I'm still on the fence. I don't know where I am at this point, but I do ask that you not add my name to the growing list. Please don't deny us our rights. Thank you.
Rick Rumick, then John Needon.
My name is Rick Rumack. I live at 2431 South Date in Mesa. I've lived in Mesa for 29 years. And as I've said before at numerous occasions in this council chamber, that Lowe's does not belong next to residential property. And the reason is because Lowe's is not such a great neighbor. Lowe's was fined for dumping pesticides in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Fort Wayne News Sentinel, October 27th, 1998. Lowe's spreads fire ants, Roanoke Times, August 17th and August 20th and August 21st, 2002. Fire destroys, nearly destroys a Lowe's store in Georgia in April 18th, 1996 in the Winston-Salem Journal. These are but a few headlines you can find where Lowe's is not a particularly good neighbor. So I think people should be aware of some of the bad things that go on around Lowe's. But today we are here to talk about due process. The homeowners in Rancho Del Mar and Hunter's Ridge have their largest investments of a lifetime in their homes. As a real estate investor and a licensed real estate agent, I can assure you that homes that back up to a big box store will lose value because of their location, and it will affect other homes in the neighborhood. If you had a choice between two identical homes in the very same neighborhood, one that backed up to a big box store and one that did not, which one do you think you would pick? That has an impact on property value. So I am here to ask you to give us due process. This is a very, very big deal to people who have their life's investment in their homes. Therefore, at a bare minimum, we request that we are allowed full due process of the law in this matter. Thank you.
John Needon, then Larry Mattis.
I want to thank Council and Mayor for this opportunity to speak. I'm from 2428 South Colleen Street in Mesa, Rancho Del Mar. And I do request a continuance to be granted based on our legal appeal that requires a stay and therefore negates your need or your right to vote on the Lowe's proposal tonight. If you decide to deny us our right for this appeal and continue the process of voting, I would appreciate it if you all were forthcoming and let us know what the real basis of your decision is. Was your decision based on the obvious detrimental effects on our neighborhood with the increased traffic congestion, increased crime, increased noise and pollution, and decreased property values? And a list will go on this evening. Or was your decision based on the loss of city sales tax? I would request that you just be honest, not political, to hopefully increase the citizens' trust in you, our council, and government. Hopefully this continuance will be granted this evening, and you will have more time to be forthcoming if this bridge is crossed again. Thank you.
Larry Mattis.
Bob Evans, yes.
All right.
Thank you, Larry.
David Healy. And then John Hoover. All of you, David.
Mayor and Council, good evening. My name is David Healy. I live at 536 West Madero Avenue in Rancho Del Mar. I'm also a registered professional civil engineer in the state of Arizona, license number 11228. Been an engineer for about 30 years, and I think I have some experience in evaluating site plans, I've worked in drainage, highways. I'm currently working on the light rail project as well. And I'd just like to say a few things about some of the aspects of the site plan, some of the development that I've seen. First thing is what kind of trees are going to be proposed in the landscape plan. Lowe's is proposing some 36-inch box mesquites, 36-inch box palaverdes, desert willows, and those are 24-inch box, and they're going to be the ones along the fences separating our neighborhoods from the Lowe's development. And there are also some desert willows, maybe 15 gallons sprinkled here and there. A 36-inch box tree sounds like a pretty good-sized tree. Until you really see one up close and personal. These were planted on on line section 5, the Metro Light Rail project. Those are 36-inch box trees. They're maybe 7, 8, maybe 9 feet tall. The 24-inch box trees, the ones going up along the walls, are somewhat smaller, as you can see. Now, in some day, maybe 10, 15 years from now, these trees, you know, we're going to be pretty good sized if they're cared for and watered properly and taken care of. Meanwhile, we'll see the back of Lowe's lot. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the noise report. A noise report was prepared for this site. It evaluated, explains where noise is measured, what sources of noise there might be, and then jumped to a rather quick conclusion that we don't need any mitigation of noise on this property due to this development. There were no backup calculations. There were no formulas. There was, frankly, nothing except the conclusions reached. I've been an engineer for 30 years. I've never seen a design report that failed to provide backup calculations, and I believe Council Member Truitt would agree with me. For that very reason, I think we should have a continuance, at least until the applicant can provide some numbers that show what the noise is. One other thing I forgot to mention is that the noise report does not include noise from increased traffic on Country Club Drive due to Lowe's. That also should be part of the noise report. Thank you.
Okay. John Hoover, followed by Emerson Turner.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Rather than reiterating many of the things my neighbors have said, I'll just make a few observations. First of all, Hunters Ridge and Rancho Del Mar are very large areas. They take, between the two of them, they take up probably 80% of the square mile. Now, if I was a neighbor that lived more toward Guadalupe or more toward Alma School, I might not be as concerned about the Lowe's. So I believe that you need to factor in that I think we have a very high percentage of neighbors that are close to the area that are opposed to the project. The other thing is the memo that was sent out about the ruling did have an effect on our decisions. And we're not lawyers. We're trying to follow the rules. And that memo did have an effect on our decisions. And so anyway, I'm for due process, and please grant the continuance. Thank you.
Emerson Turner, and then Marie
Sikora.
Like it sounds.
Good evening. My name is Emerson Turner. I reside at 2427 South Colleen, Mesa 85210, the Rancho Del Mar subdivision. My family and I moved to Arizona in August of 1994. We were one of the first residents of Rancho Del Mar. And for the record, my home is backed up to Highway 87. In the purchase of my home, contrary to Mr. Pugh's opinion, I was given over a $4,000 discount on the location relative to the undesirable traffic noise. This establishes the fact that traffic noise does, in fact, have a detrimental effect on home value. But upon moving in, this noise so troubled me that I wrote a letter to Continental Homes questioning why a supposed reputable company, such as themselves, would build a subdivision close to a major thoroughfare. I questioned if there was some oversight selection process. Was there some government entity that ensured that the rights of the consuming public were protected? My letter went unanswered. I did not know then that government bodies such as you sit in review of those issues, those decisions. Therefore, it's more than just a perfunctory statement for me to express my dislike to be heard by you on what would be yet another deterioration of my home ownership experience. Were a loan to be placed in this area, the traffic and subsequent noise would increase significantly, further eroding home value and quality of life for Rancho Del Mar residents. This is the sole reason why we stand in opposition to Lowe's at this proposed location. We see our government as protectors of the people, a protector of a people's right, as a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. As evidenced by this agenda item in review, you are here to exercise that responsibility. Thomas Jefferson had this very same concern. Jefferson was rightly characterized as a proponent of natural rights. His vision of America was quite straightforward. He saw a society where people were first and institutions were second. He saw three agencies that were threats to human rights, one of which is overly powerful corporations. All institutions, in Jefferson's view, must be subordinate to humans that created them, including governments and corporations. So here we are, approximately 220 years later, in these chambers, faced with the very same issue that Jefferson feared. We have a powerful corporation asserting its rights over the natural rights of those citizens who support its very existence. And a favorable vote by you tonight highlights Jefferson's second fear, that of an overreaching government which disregards the constitutional rights of the people to due process. We come before you tonight to challenge you to exercise your responsibility as a protector of the people's natural rights, the rights to be comfortable, safe, and enjoy peaceful living in their homes, which they have purpose. So again, thank you, and we would respectfully ask for our continuance.
All right. Marie Secora and Steve Buckless will be following.
Good evening. My name is Maria Sikora. I live at 445 West Monterey Avenue. Members of the council, as a resident of Rancho Del Mar, I am here tonight to ask that you honor my right to a continuance regarding the issue of granting a council use permit to the applicant. As an active member of the Rancho Del Mar Hunters Ridge Steering Committee, I am a participant in the filing of the appeal to the Zoning Board's interpretation of the northern border of the council use permit in question. According to the zoning laws of Mesa, the act of filing this appeal requires an immediate stay to any further proceedings of this case until the issue is resolved by the Board of Adjustment at a public hearing. Any action other than this would be a serious violation of my rights as a citizen of Mesa and will force me to seek legal counsel to preserve those rights. Thank you.
Steve Buckles.
I decline. Bob spoke for me.
Okay, thank you. Laurel Ginsburg.
Laurel Ginsburg, 433 West Monterey Avenue. Over 2 years ago, the neighbors of Rancho Del Mar and Hunters Ridge started meeting together because they felt that putting a Lowe's next to our neighborhood of approximately 1,000 homes was a bad idea. We were not opposed to Lowe's, just that location. We already have three big box retail stores within 1 mile of us, Costco, Walmart, and Home Depot. We really think that we have enough at this time. Another one would only lead to more traffic, more noise, and more pollution. I can't believe it would lead to less or the same. It seems like a forced land use, if I may quote Scott Smith, candidate for mayor, of an area zoned M1. The hours of a store such as Lowe's would also cause us to lose the quiet enjoyment of our homes in the evening hours. I'm sorry, but 5 a.m. in the morning to 10 p.m. at night adds up to 17 hours to me. That's a lot of hours. And our land values would go down no matter what Mr. Pugh says, especially the homes that border the buffer. We saw the legal representative of Lowe's, Mr. Pugh, get two continuances along the way and threaten to go to Superior Court if he didn't get his way. When he knew he couldn't get a supermajority vote, he withdrew before the case came to a final vote in front of the city council. Then a few months later, the neighbors once again received a letter from him, and the process started all over again. Only this time, he made sure he had the votes and rigged the site plan so that the buffer zone was not included in the plan, even though 23 acres is one parcel altogether and will be sold to Lowe's if it happens as such. We, the citizens, were first denied the right to address the Planning and Zoning Committee to ask for a postponement, and twice now the City Council has denied us the right to address them at their study sessions. Therefore, tonight, this vote is not a decision whether to allow Lowe's, in our opinion, but a vote to deny us, the citizens, due process. It would be the right thing to uphold the appeal and grant us a continuance. Code violations are not an excuse for building a Lowe's. Please make me proud of my city. Thank you.
Lori Buckles, followed by Christopher Sikora.
Hi, I'm Lori Buckles, 559 West Laguna Azul. Mayor Hawker, Vice Mayor Walters, and council members, hypothetical question here. What do these things have in common? Sheriff Joe badmouths Mesa Police Chief Gascon, even though the chief is following your city policy. The Grace Company allows its property at Southern and Alma to fall into disrepair and ignores code compliance. Ford Motor Company continues to produce Pintos when it would have only cost them $11 a car to fix that fuel tank design and save 180 lives. Lowe's wants to build a mammoth store next to our homes in its M1 property. The P&Z board says that we need sales tax, therefore this is a good choice, and they pass it based on that. Well, I'll tell you what's similar about these things. Some of them may be legal, but they're certainly not ethical. And what about this? Mike Ginsburg gets a letter from Gordon Sheffield inviting him to appeal. The city accepts his appeal and his money, and then at study session, we're being told that it doesn't qualify. Doubtfully legal, definitely not ethical. There's moral decline in our nation. It looks like there might be in our city. I hope you'll prove us wrong tonight. We look to you to be the moral barometer and to protect your citizens' rights. Daryl Burton or the other owners have a new opportunity to file perhaps a valid legal protest for the new council hearing date. This is especially important in the event the Board of Adjustment disagrees with Mr. Sheffield. This is as yet an unresolved issue, and action tonight will irreparably harm our right to due process. All adjacent owners, I live a stone's throw from the store, and the people that we've been representing are adjacent owners, not way up on Extension in Medina. They're people who will feel the harmful intrusion of this store every day of their lives, every hour of the night, every hour of the morning, Monday through Sunday. It will not stop. So please, all adjacent owners were led to believe that a filing of a legal protest would be an exercise of futility. Therefore, we did not file. This is an inexcusable thing to have happen. There's been nothing but confusion in the procedures here throughout the planning and zoning process and that filing of appeal, and we're asking you to step back and say, okay, guys, we respect you as neighbors, we respect your process, we respect your liberty, we respect your rights. We're going to make this right. We are not going to just hold hands with this person over here representing Lowe's and assume that sales tax is going to be generated. Where is the economic impact study that shows whether there's going to be damages to our local businesses? How do we know that we're just not going to shift sales from Home Depot to Lowe's? Let's get our facts straight, guys. And thank you so much. I really appreciate your listening to me.
Sikora. And then Gary
Blangian.
Good evening, Mayor Hawker and the council members. My name is Chris Sikora. I live at 445 West Monterey Avenue. We all know this could have been put to bed last year. However, Mr. Pugh would have had to have a supermajority. Let's not mince words. He didn't have it, so he delayed the case using legal tactics. What I wouldn't give to have a lawyer here right now telling you, you cannot violate my rights. We filed an appeal. And that appeal says right in your own law and covenants that it immediately puts a stay on this. We're entitled to the same thing that Mr. Pugh is entitled to. Mr. Pugh filed an appeal because he wanted the Board of Adjustment to interpret the word opposite. Again, delay, delay. It's a time thing. He's waiting to get your votes to put the Lowe's in. I'm not opposed to Lowe's. I'm opposed to it in that area. And one of the most ironic parts of it is Mr. Pugh told me to my face he would not buy a home that had a Lowe's behind it. Now, I'm just asking you to continue this because that's the way it should go. That's our rights as citizens and people of Mesa. We've jumped through all the hoops. I've learned a ton. I'm in the medical field, but I've learned a ton about legal proceedings through this because of his dances. And you watch his dances long enough, you learn how to dance them. And we filed an appeal, and we demand a continuance. Otherwise, my wife is here before, I will be forced to seek legal counsel, and I certainly will. I respect all you council members and you, Mayor, that you will do the right thing and grant us a continuance just as any other legal person would get. Thank you.
Gary Blangian, Michael Ginsburg would be next.
Thanks for the work you do. I live at 454 West Madero Avenue. My name is Gary Blangian. So we've been working on this lot behind our property for about 10 years now. And it's not a very nice lot. It's empty. It's got weeds in it. I had to go out there with my pressure washer a few times and sandblast off graffiti. I had to pick up weeds a few times. You know, I like Lowe's. I own a couple of residential income properties in the city of Mesa. I've got a business license in the city of Mesa. I live in the city of Mesa. And I do a lot of business with Lowe's. You know, I got to maintain these properties. I fix them up, air conditioners and granite countertops for the family. Yeah, they're a great company. I'd like to think that I have a pretty well-rounded perspective on this, right? I want what's best for the city. I want what's best for my neighbors. And, you know, I want what's best for that lot. Lowe's has done a fantastic job of trying to make this site work for their big box store. Incredible job. But at the end of the day, this is a very highly polished square peg in a round hole. We don't need a half-mile 18-wheeler racetrack right behind our properties. And we don't need something that's running from 5 a.m. in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, except maybe on Christmas, 7 days a week, behind our homes. And we don't need a building with a 52-foot-tall facia on the front next to adjacent businesses and homes that are 30 feet tall at best. It just doesn't fit. It's not transitional. It defies any notion of fitting in to this infill area. I know we've been struggling with it. I want to see it developed more than anybody else, but it's not a good fit. I really, really would like you to vote against this. Thank you.
Michael Ginsburg, followed by Timothy Haywood.
Working? I don't know. Okay. Michael Ginsburg, 433 West Monterey. Mayor, Council, the city attorney gave you an interpretation of what she felt was the procedure here for due process. I hope you all listened to me because I don't think she gave the right interpretation. As you can see from the item on the emo, I guess it's called, the city manager's office asked zoning administrator for interpretation. And specifically, he said, Gordon Sheffield, pursuant to paragraph 1118.4b of the Mesa Zoning Ordinance, you have asked me to interpret paragraph 1118.8m of the zoning ordinance as it applies to the conditions present for zoning case 0805. And that's what we're discussing tonight. It's 0805. City attorney wants you to believe it's not the 0805, but just some generic one. Okay? Our ordinance, and I say our because I'm a member of the city, okay? 1118.5e appeals to the Board of Adjustment. I crossed out the words that are not pertaining to tonight. No interpretation of the zoning ordinance or other provision of the city code shall be acted upon till a public hearing has been held. Appeals to the board may be submitted by any person aggrieved or affected by any decision of the zoning administrator within 30 days of filing with the zoning administrator, a written notice of appeal specifying the grounds. No fee is required for this appeal. We paid $389. The zoning administrator shall transmit to the board all the papers constituting the records for which the action appealed from was taken. The city's manager, who is also a public servant of ours, started the case. Therefore, the case must continue through its legal processes. I don't see anywhere, and I challenge the city attorney to show me where in this appeals to the Board of Adjustment it says you have to have a legal protest. It says you are to appeal the zoning administrator's interpretation, and that's what we've done. The appeal stays all proceedings in the manner appealed from unless the zoning administrator certifies to the board that a stay would cause imminent peril to life or property. Well, I don't think Mr. Wolfswinkle is going to have any imminent peril to his life, and I don't think the property is going to walk away. So therefore, the question tonight in front of you is not to approve or disapprove Lowe's, and we all want Lowe's, but we don't want that location. It's to give us our constitutional right of due process, and that's what we're asking for. You are 7 members of this council. We know you work hard. We know you have the citizens' interests in front of you, and we know you'll do the right thing. Thank you.
Timothy Haywood, followed by Todd Skousen.
I'm from 108 South Olive Street, just down here. I was born in Mesa. I go to MCC Community College, and I work for Mesa Public Schools part-time. I oppose a continuance on this decision. It's been going on for a long time. I'm in support for having Lowe's. I feel that my voice is kind of, for the future of Mesa, I'd like to see a positive growth. And I feel that these new businesses, these new growths, Mesa deserves that. Yeah. Thank you.
Todd Skousen and Tyler Bias.
My name is Todd Skousen. I live at 521 North Hall Street. I am opposed to the continuance, and I'm for Lowe's because I favor property rights. And I think that the mentality that we've had the last 10 years has been to push away businesses, and it's led to the deficit we currently have. And I think as we continue to push away businesses, we'll have the same problems that we've had in Mesa. And thank you for your time.
Mark, Phipps? PHIPPS. Phipps?
Is this Tyler?
Well, I was hanging out there with my baby earlier, just a little noisy.
You're up.
Hi, Mark Phipps, 424 West Madero Avenue. I back up to the property. I was the last one in before the announcement, the peak of the market, my own problem. I'm here tonight to give some of the concerns of my wife who had to go pick up our kids. I think she put that on her card. She wanted to speak tonight and just made some pretty emphatic remarks in the past. about her concerns for the safety of our children and the large population of people that will be now coming in and out of the backyard. I've heard all the speaking of all the graffiti on the fence and all the trash in the lot. Those are great pictures. You could have taken those at pretty much any lot anywhere in town because the graffiti police go around when you call the graffiti hotline and clean it up, and that's part of the things we pay the taxes for. I just want to get the entire story. We have a, there'll be more instructions from my wife on what she wants me to say, but I'm not going to bore you with that. What I want to know is what's going to happen to everything else. Right now we've got a council use permit that's been submitted for the dashed line. I saw it in a 195-page document that was attached to this agenda item, and it's conveniently placed in the last 100 and, I don't need it, we all know how far it is, 150-plus feet from the back of my fence, my 5-foot wall. I don't have one of those neat little extensions, so mine is only 5 feet tall. They're very becoming. I like those 1-foot extensions up to get you to 6 or a little over code there. But what happens to the rest of the property? What happens to that area around the other side? Are there specific things that are guaranteed when granting a council use permit for this small area that are specifically required to be done with the border area that backs up to the properties? I know that no matter what question you ask of Mr. Pugh, we'll get an answer of some sort. And usually that answer will digress into a story of horror. They're going to start burning people. They're going to start burning animals in the crematorium that they're going to put behind your house, Mr. Phipps. It's going to be right in your backyard. But you know they're probably not going to operate more than 6, 8, 10 hours a day, and probably not 7 days a week, 363 days a year, maybe 364. They'll be there every moment that my children are awake for the rest of the time that I'm there, unless they start getting up before 5:30 or 6 in the morning when the employees start to arrive and they start staying up until 11:30 or 12 o'clock after the last employee leaves and the street sweeper finishes. I just want to make sure that we're looking at this thing as the big picture. And I thank you for your time.
I have several cards from people that have indicated that they did not wish to speak. I'll read those that I have four here that did not wish to speak that were in support. It's either I or Lynn Adams, David Evangelist, if I've got that pronounced right. Sorry, David. Tyler Wickup, and Dan Cahill are not speaking in support. I have several cards here that are not speaking in opposition. Greg McKay, Robert Harold George, Kathleen George, Jessica Imble, Dennis Imble, Ebel, all right, thank you. Scott Rand, I pronounced this one wrong the last time. Kelly Plangela, Stacy Rand, Kelly McCleave, and Robert Martin, Chad Haywood. There's not a check mark for or opposed on that one. Chad still here? Opposed? Okay. It's in the right section. Right. Brad Toth and Lee Toth are opposed. I'm not sure of the first name. The last name is Tan. Retan is also in opposition. So that is the extent of the cards I have. Was there somebody that came this evening that I missed their card somehow or that did not have the opportunity to speak? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and close the public comment portion. I would give Mr. Pugh an opportunity to respond to some of the comments that were made, and then I think we'll also need a city. In fact, why don't we do the city attorney's comments first?
Thank you.
And then I'll have Mr. Pugh come up. Sorry, Earl.
Okay, Mayor, to address a couple of the issues raised by the citizens specifically, does the opinion of the zoning administrator specifically apply to this case? And does the appealing of that opinion stay this case before the council? Obviously, yes, when the deputy city manager asked for an interpretation of the zoning code, she intended that it would apply to this case. However, it is not fact-specific and unique to this case. The zoning interpretation by the zoning administrator will apply to all future cases that have similar facts to this. For example, if there's not a uniform wall, they will refer to this zoning interpretation and will apply the opinion of the zoning administrator to that case. It is not unique to this case. Also, in the submittal by the deputy city manager, she asks for the interpretation of the code provision, and she says, "The interpretation I am requesting will help to resolve potential issues concerning the validity of a legal protest if one is submitted concerning this case." So, yes, the intent was that if a protest is submitted, this will help speed up the process. The zoning administrator will have already addressed a potential ambiguity in the zoning code. But, it is not unique to this particular case. Then when the citizens appealed the interpretation of the zoning administrator, it does not stay this proceeding because they did not file the protest. The zoning interpretation was never applied to this specific case because the protest was not filed. So that's the legal analysis in terms of why this zoning interpretation and the appeal of that interpretation does not stay the proceedings before this council. I guess the second issue that I heard was with regard to the prior appeals by the applicant and their appeal to the Board of Adjustment and the zoning administrator's interpretation. That's a little different because the applicant is required to comply with all of the administrative proceedings before it is entitled to go forward. Citizens here are not. So the council decided to grant the continuance to allow the applicant to complete the administrative process set forth in the code as the applicant is required to do so. The applicant exercised its rights. We followed that process. That's not equivalent or identical to the process that is before this council tonight. If you have any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right, Mr. Pugh.
Mayor and council members, thank you for your patience this evening. A couple of quick comments. And I would ask the city attorney to listen and see if there's a disagreement with this statement. There's been much discussion tonight about the fact that there's been an attempt to deprive property owners in the vicinity of due process. Frankly, the issue of the appeal of the zoning administrator's decision has nothing to do with your action tonight. In fact, I would go so far as to say, I do not believe this council has authority to stop that appeal. It's not in your purview. You have no jurisdiction over that. That will go on. No matter what you do tonight, that appeal will continue. You cannot take action tonight, I don't think, to deprive these property owners in the vicinity of their right to continue on with that appeal. They can do that. The real heart of the issue is we, as the applicant, take the risk. We are asking you to vote tonight. The outcome of that vote is important, and we're taking the risk that the vote happen, and whatever happens on that appeal happens. And if that appeal is overturned, if the zoning administrator's decision is overturned, we take the risk of the consequences of that, and we are willing to do it. So I would ask you to please consider that. You are not depriving all of these people of the right to continue with their appeal, because I don't even think you have the authority to do that tonight, because that's a separate process with the Board of Adjustment. That's a thought on the procedure. With respect to treating us the same as the neighbors are requesting, I believe the city attorney answered that question very clearly. We were under a burden a year ago to exhaust every administrative and procedural remedy available in the city's processes. before we could seek, if we were going to, a judicial determination of what a three-quarter vote is and what it isn't. We had to go through all those steps. That's why those continuances were asked for and granted. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had the right to move forward. These property owners tonight have every right to move forward, no matter what the outcome of this meeting is. They are not under the same burden that we are. With respect to the breaking of a promise mentioned by the Honorable former Councilmember Kavanaugh and soon-to-be reseated Councilmember Kavanaugh, my involvement in that case was to represent Henry Brown in connection with his dealership. That case was withdrawn by Mr. Brown, instructing me to do so. Subsequent to that, an office plan was approved by the property owner on only a portion of the property. And I explained that to this council last summer when you took action to remove all of the approved site plans from this property. Why? Because those site plans were inconsistent with each other and could not be built. There was an old 82 plan and a 2000 plan. And they couldn't be built, they couldn't work together. We asked you to remove them all. There is no promise that this acreage will be or has been set aside for office development. I certainly didn't make that promise in any case that I was personally involved in. The issue of the general plan and zoning, Mr. Sanks has read that statement in every public hearing that we've had on this case. And the fundamental point that he misses is, once a piece of property is zoned, the issue of the general plan does not guide further decisions with respect to that property, as long as the property owner develops it under the existing zoning. If we were here tonight asking you to change the zoning from M1 to anything else, then the general plan would come into play and your action would have to be consistent with it. We are not doing that. And in fact, your staff report is very, very clear on that point. So there is no confusion between the general plan and the council use permit being asked for. Finally, there's been some discussion tonight about a harmful intrusion into individuals' enjoyment of their property. All I can attempt to say again, and I don't know how many times we can express it and in how many different forms, it would be radically different if we were here tonight with a heavy equipment repair facility 75 feet from that property line with no restrictions on operating hours, with outside storage, and with whatever could be done in that zoning district. We are pleading with you, council members, to recognize this property zoned M1. If it was zoned residential and we were coming to you tonight to change it, now the conversation's different. But it is M1, and there are uses in the M1 that are inherently more inimical to those property owners living in the area than this wonderful retail facility buffered as we have done it with limited operating hours. We urge you to vote approval of this case. We urge you to not continue it. Thank you, Mayor, for listening to us. Be happy to address questions you might have.
Are there any questions at this time? Mr. Pugh? Yes, it's next. City staff?
Mayor, council members, this is a request for a council use permit in the M1 zoning district, as you've heard, along Country Club Road. This has been a case that staff has been working on now for well over a year. As you've heard tonight, there are a lot of interest in this case, a lot of questions and comments that staff has been researching and considering in our review of the case. Pages 10 through 12 of your report outline most of those major questions that have come up and provide staff's comments and responses to those. The questions largely revolve around, is location of a Lowe's store, granting a council use permit for that in this location, compatible with, not detrimental to, the adjacent neighborhood. Given that the existing property is already zoned M1 and the types of uses that can easily go into the M1 district without any council use permit, the site plan that we received with the buffer around the west and south sides, it's been staff's finding that the project can fit in this area, that the problems with noise and traffic and so forth are mitigated through the site plan as it's been designed. With those things in mind, staff and the Planning and Zoning Board have recommended approval of this case to you.
Okay, we've heard the public, staff, and the applicant. What questions does council still have? And go ahead, Mr. Truitt.
Thanks. Just a few questions. The buffer area around the site, and this is for the staff, can it ever be developed to any other allowed M1 use in the future?
Mayor, Councilmember Truitt, we're looking at a site plan currently that excludes that. The property is zoned M1. In order to develop it in any other way than what is coming through at this time would require a new application for site plan approval that would come back through the process. So it would be possible, but it would take action by at least the Planning and Zoning Board and potentially council to approve any use other than the landscaping that's being has been associated with it at this time.
I understand all that. So I guess the answer is it is potentially possible that the buffer area could has the zoning and it would go through a process to see if it could be approved.
That's correct.
My next question was, I'm just reading some of the minutes of the planning and zoning meeting. At that meeting, there was a question asked about design review board, and Mr. Ellsworth responded that there was a submittal for the March DRB work session. Is that all that's happened? Is a study session at DRB, or has there actually been a DRB determination?
Mayor, Councilmember Truitt, at the April DR board meeting, they did review and approve the site plan.
Thank you. Last two other questions. One is, I've just got a little map here. It shows these little lines that kind of run around in circles on the buffer area. What do they represent? I'm on 21, page 21. They're probably on different pages, but they're certainly on page 21.
Mayor, Councilmember Truitt, the lines I believe you're looking at on page 21 would indicate some detention of the ground for providing for some stormwater retention in those areas. Back on page 16, you'll see the landscape plan, and circles on those pages represent various landscape material, trees proposed for the site.
My understanding was, however, they were required to do all of their site retention within the CUP, so this must just be retention for the areas that are outside of the CUP.
That is correct.
My next question. We were given examples of big boxes adjacent to residential areas. Were any of those ever done via a council use permit?
No.
Okay, and we have approved some big boxes by council use permit in the past, but not adjacent to residential areas. The way I understand. Okay. I think that's all my questions for now.
All right, so Mr. Wayland.
Thank you. A couple of questions on process. If this council this evening, Debbie, allows a continuance, would that be then considered a stay of this process?
Yes, it would. And then that would extend the time for individuals to file a protest.
So in fact, then the process would be open. They could then legally file the protest, and if the zoning administrator's decision is overruled, the ruling of the Board of Adjustment then would stand. As to, they'll be asked to look at the distance requirements. Is that what they will, or how it's measured? What will their process be?
The Board of Adjustment?
Yes, ma'am.
They will decide whether they agree or disagree with the zoning administrator's interpretation that on the northern portion of the parcel, to measure the 150 feet from the CUP boundary outward to the north, And the definition of a side, is that one side or are there multiple sides under the state law in the Mesa City Code for purposes of determining the 150-foot buffer? After they determine how do you measure the 150-foot buffer or radius, those who have filed a written protest, do they account for 20% of the property within that area? If they do, then it satisfies the criteria for a legal protest, and it would require a three-quarters vote of the council.
Okay. So once we grant the continuance, the process opens up again, and they have the legal right to file the protest, whether it's upheld or not.
They have the legal right to file the protest, which, they have the same right they had
before, but prior. Missed the time deadline.
Correct.
What if the Board of Adjustment sides with the zoning administrator? Is the stay still in place then for the residents to appeal to Superior Court?
No. And if I may have misunderstood your question before, even if the zoning administrator overturns it, it's not necessarily a stay to Superior Court.
The only appeal from the Board of Adjustment is Superior Court.
Correct.
So if the Board of Adjustment upholds the decision of the zoning administrator, the recourse for the neighbors is to file in Superior Court.
That's correct.
Does that stay the process also?
Not automatically, but they can petition the court requesting a stay, and then it would be left to the discretion of the court.
And what type of time frame would that be from the final decision of the there's a time limit of appeal, I would assume, from the final decision of the Board of Adjustment?
I want to say 30 days, Council Member, but I would have to check the code. Okay, so 30 days after the Board of Adjustment rules, they could file a action in Superior Court.
I know there's a few hypotheticals here, but I'm trying to understand this fully. If it is upheld, the decision of the zoning administrator is upheld, what is the soonest then that this case could come back before the council?
If it is upheld, it could come back immediately. However, the citizens may choose to file suit in Superior Court, and then the council would have to decide, do you voluntarily want to stay the proceedings pending the resolution of the Superior Court? Do the citizens petition the court for a stay? And if that occurs, I can't estimate how long that might take.
And are the same notice processes required, a posting 2 weeks prior, an introduction? There's not an ordinance in place, it's a council use permit.
But it's already been introduced. Okay. So unless there are changes made to what has been introduced, it would come back for consideration.
Thank you.
Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to try to do something that John asked very specifically. He says, tell us why. I'm going to try to tell you why. And I'm going to try to give five reasons why I don't think in a continuance is appropriate in this case. I'm going to move them around a little bit from the way that I had thought about them before because of the comments that were made. But let's start with the fact that there is a way that this zoning interpretation by the zoning administrator could have been and should have been perhaps applicable directly to this case that's before us tonight. That's if Mr. Burton had filed a protest, because the interpretation of this zoning ordinance only applies to the north side of the property. Everybody who spoke here tonight talking about their rights to appeal and their due process rights live on the west side or the south side. And they don't have a right to enforce a legal protest on the north side at all. You don't have standing. I can't go out and file an appeal on somebody's zoning case or zoning interpretation that applies to a zoning case in District 3. I don't live within 150 feet. It's not applicable to me. Mr. Burton, if he had filed a protest and there had been an appeal pursued by him, we wouldn't be here. Correct?
That's correct.
Case would have been. But Mr. Burton didn't file a protest, and Mr. Burton didn't file an appeal. The only person that whole four-page memo applies to in the context of this case is Mr. Burton. And Mr. Burton is not here. He was not there in March to file the protest, and he was not here to file an appeal. So first reason is it's not your due process rights at stake. If you want a due process right to appeal a generic interpretation of the zoning code, that's your right, and we're not doing anything to interfere with it. But folks, you don't have standing in this case.
Mr. Sheffield said we had the right to appeal.
He said you had a right to appeal, and you've exercised it. But it's not an appeal that is specifically applicable to this case because you don't have any standing to do anything on the north side of the property because you don't own property on the north. Now,
wait a second.
That's fine. Second reason, why isn't Mr. Burton here? Is Mr. Burton, no. Mr. Burton was represented by very zoning attorneys in this matter, very competent ones. And he chose not to exercise his right to appeal or right to file a legal protest. And in this country, you have to exercise your rights in order to preserve them. Ladies and gentlemen, we execute people in this country because they don't preserve their rights exactly right. They don't do it exactly properly. Mr. Burton had the duty, if he was so inclined, after consultation with his lawyer, after reviewing the opinion by Mr. Sheffield, had a right to file a legal protest and had a right to appeal and did neither. Now, I will move on to my third reason, and I think the mayor will make it clear that we don't like to have an interchange at this point. Your situation is different than Mr. Pugh's. As he has pointed out, the city attorney has pointed out, and even people from the group have pointed out that he had to exhaust his administrative remedies in order to sue. You do not. Mr. Burton did not. All Mr. Burton had to do was file a legal protest, and he didn't. Now, you know, there's another issue that's, I mean, I guess, I just, it's just, I can't comprehend how people on the west and the south can exercise the rights for the people on the north. And I guess that's my fundamental concern with this, is that Mr. Burton, who knew what he was doing, had counsel, could have done what he did, could have done it, he didn't. That's how we would have made this case applicable or that interpretation to this case. That hasn't happened. But more importantly, we proceed tonight, if there's a vote of 7-0 or 6-1 in favor, the question is moot as to whether or not a legal protest could or could not have been filed, whether the interpretation is right or wrong, because it's been rendered moot by the size of the majority. If it loses 3-4 or any other way, it's moot as well. And if it's 4-3 or 5-2, and somewhere along the line, the zoning administrator decides that it was wrong, or the Superior Court decides that it was wrong, then we're back here with a new case, or at least a changed case, right? So I don't see where this hurts, except in one area. And that is, I believe that this council has lived with this case. We have been a part of it for 2+ years, we should decide it. And I think that the attempt to file an appeal by people who don't even have property on the north side is an attempt to get myself and some other people's off the council in order to have new people come in June and vote on the case. So I oppose a continuance, and for those reasons, I would hope that my colleagues would allow us to proceed to the merits.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion for approval of the zoning case?
I will do that as well, but I will do it, if I can, with, again, some explanations. You know, there's been a lot of talk about due process rights here, but there hasn't been much about property rights. And I've told the neighbors when I met with them, I've told everybody for 4 years that if the zoning case comes before me that doesn't create a health hazard or a nuisance, I would support it. There is a buffer here that is extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary. When you talk about protection, you know, I've got, you know, there was a big group of material that was submitted, and I actually read it all, the Clean Air Task Force and all the material dealing with the clean air. You know, you talk about diesel emissions. There's more school buses that go by my house and queue up, and I'm right across the street from the school, than semis are going to pull in to this yard on a daily basis. So I don't see a health hazard. I don't see a traffic problem. Every issue that's been raised has been examined, and it has been found that there is no detrimental impact. So I think that the two criteria that are required by the zoning code, this is consistent with the zoning code. It's consistent with the current zoning on the property. It's consistent with zoning policies and city council policies. So my motion incorporates that specific finding. And I do not believe that based upon the staff reports dealing with the police, dealing with the noise, dealing with the lighting, dealing with the traffic, dealing with the pollution, dealing with the day laborers, that there is any negative impact on the community. I will also say that there's absolutely no empirical evidence provided, none, that property values are adversely affected by this. And if we get, there are five examples in this report of big boxes right next to neighborhoods. And if there had been a decrease in the property values of the homes that set next to the big box versus the ones that set more interiorly, we'd have heard about it today. The fact that we didn't tells me that it doesn't exist. So for that reason, I move approval with the conditions that are set forth in the staff report and the Planning and Zoning Commission decision.
Okay. Vice Mayor?
I don't know if there's a second to that motion. I was going to make a different motion.
Second.
I don't think Tom's registered, so a bunch of mine. No, you're right.
Well, then I guess we'll have a vote on your motion. I was going to make a different motion. I understand the logic that you went through, but the problem is that the law is ambiguous. I mean, the wording is ambiguous. And so with that ambiguity in place, what we're left with is a memo that says that this is about this case. We have a situation where our code reads that stays it. It doesn't talk about standing. At least I didn't hear you talking about standing. It just said if the appeal was filed, that then it stayed the case. And it does, in the memo that was sent out, it talks about this case. It specifically says it in the heading. I think it would have been cleaner if we, you know, it's nice to have foresight and try and look ahead and anticipate problems. But as a result of our anticipating a problem, we've ended up with a problem. So I was going to make a motion that we do a continuance of this till after the Board of Adjustments hearing. Given that we're going to vote on this, I want to get some things on the record. Mr. Pugh, there has been a question regarding the buffer around the area. And it was my understanding previously in talking to you several months ago that you were discussing deed restrictions so that you could not have M1 built directly across the fence from these folks.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Walters, we will agree on the record that we will not utilize that property for development purposes. And we can confirm that in a way that's appropriate as the staff may see fit.
Okay, so you're going to put some legal thing into place.
We do not intend to develop that property, and we will put a legal mechanism in place to do that, either on the record here tonight, so that if a zoning case shows up on it in the future, or in a restrictive covenant or a open space development agreement, a simple document, whatever it takes, we are agreeable. We always have been agreeable.
Well, obviously, you can't change the conditions of this. So
right.
I think it's going to have to be a separate legal agreement.
Yes.
It's going to have to be either deed restrictions or a separate open space agreement or something like that.
And I'm here to say we will work with the staff and create something like that.
I just don't think we should leave something out there not on the record. I don't know how this vote is going to go, but I just don't think we should leave something out there that allows for development over their back fence of M1.
Fair enough.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, they can't sell it off to somebody else.
The comments need to be coming from the council at this time. Other comments from council? Let's Mr. Truitt.
Just following up on what the vice mayor said, I think it's outside of our purview to so stipulate that they can't develop that surrounding property. Make it a condition of the zone of the CUP.
I agree. I didn't make a condition. Mr. Pugh put it on the record voluntarily.
I understand that. I'm just asking, I guess, our attorney that that could not be a stipulation of the CUP.
Well, certainly not allow the council to decide tonight because it would require an introduction, but that is something that is generally controlled not through a stipulation on a zoning ordinance. It's controlled through a deed restriction.
I understand that. My question was, it's inappropriate to make that as an additional stipulation of the CUP approval.
That's correct.
Thank you.
You'd have to reintroduce the whole process.
Yeah, can't do it.
Can't add stipulations.
No, I really have to do it at the study session and then reintroduce.
Okay. Mr. Summers.
I don't know if this has any bearing, but I'm drawn to a case that we had just recently up in Darrell's area where we talked about a bonus intensity zone. And we, up here, and I don't remember if you were that attorney, but up here we went back and forth on one of the uses, which was a hotel, and whether or not we were going to extend the bonus intensity zone to include that area or not. And the agreement ended up being we would extend the bonus intensity zone to include that building if that building were to be changed to be a Class A office, and that's what the agreement was. Based on that, I guess the question I have for our attorney is why is the parking lot anything other than the building, why is the parking lot or any other part of this other than the building part of the council use permit? Why not just the building? In which case, if it were just the building, then we wouldn't be here at all with any legal question, would we? Because it would be well outside the 150 feet. The 3.6% wouldn't even be included.
But
so the question is why is the parking lot part of it?
Okay.
A CUP?
Yeah, parking is part of, in order to have the big box with a retail store there, they must provide parking. I guess I'll look to John, but I'm sure in the code it's going to require that the parking, everything required for that retail store be encompassed within the CUP.
I would agree with that, but if we were doing a tattoo parlor in a strip mall, the parking isn't part of the CUP either.
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, typically when we do those council use permit requests for the pawn shops, we have drawn that line out into the parking field to include a portion of the parking that would go with that particular use. So as the city attorney explained, that's the way we have looked at it. The parking is part and parcel of the whole effort to develop the use that needs the council use permit.
So back to my previous case I spoke of about an hour ago, which was the one in the nightclub. We included the parking is part of that CUP as well? I see Tom nodding his head. Okay.
Yes.
So that answers my question. Thank you.
Okay. Let me go ahead and give my comments on this one. I thought that when Lowe's set up a 150-foot buffer at this location that the neighbors would have been congratulating them for being good corporate citizens and having a really adequate buffer. I was surprised that the protests and the negativity was still present from the neighbors. So I have a huge shopping development in my backyard, and so I can relate to some of your concerns on visual and having had a vacant lot for a long time and then having it change on you. So I understand, but boy, if somebody had presented to me a 150-foot buffer from a land use in a residential, knowing that you have a lot in back that's a real unknown with an M1 zoning on it, I thought that there would have been more celebration as opposed to consternation and worrying, personally. So I was thinking that this would be an easy case, you know, once that took place. The one or two people indicating that they were not in favor of switching to anything but an office because of prior promises, I think, sparked some discussion about three-quarter votes and created some of this other finagling. So I see it. I don't deny that it probably took place, and it's a legal way you can do it. That's why 150 foot has to be a pretty good distance to begin with.
because otherwise somebody should have the right to get 20% of the neighbors on one side and have a special vote by the council before something passes. So we have to give it special consideration. In this case, I think the 150-foot is adequate. To me, just logically, I can see a north, south, east, west side. So I don't, you know, to have any other interpretation come through from, you know, what makes up 20% of one side. Is it half of the one side or all of the one side? It's all of the one side. I mean, just logic dictates that. So I couldn't figure out why there was such an interpretation that needed to take place. It's just like, of course it's the north side. What do you think? It's a north quarter of the, I mean, it's the north side, especially when you have three other sides that are so well defined. So I don't think that's going to change. And knowing that the protest would have been, what, 2.5% or 5% or something, one of the office building, and I believe the applicant owns or probably controls more of the rest, so you're not going to get probably other signatures coming forward anyway, I mean, in reality. So I'd just as soon put this thing to rest and say, let's move on. So I'm going to be voting in favor of the Lowe's at this location with the stipulations and the setbacks that have been indicated. And I am looking for the zoning attorney and the owner and Lowe's to come through with some type of a restriction so that the buffer zone does not come back to this council for further consideration, so the neighbors know that that 150-foot is real, that it's going to be there for drainage or landscape, whatever you have to do, so that there's a comfort zone there. Because I think they deserve that, knowing that they're now moving forward with a big box as opposed to the dream of someday having small offices in there or something else. So that's I'm looking to the applicant to do that, but I will be supporting the motion for being in favor of this tonight. Councilmember Jones.
Just a week and a half ago, it was my privilege once again to walk through the National Archives and view firsthand our Constitution. And in that Constitution, it gives us rights. It gives us the ability to have those rights recognized. And yes, our founding fathers had some concerns about rights. And they were also concerned about the tyranny of the majority. All those things were included. And it's very important that we do look at the big picture. And unfortunately, we have some individuals when they get emotional and start talking about things that are very dear and near to them, they have a tendency to say, I demand. Or they question, well, if you don't agree with me, then you've lost your morals or I challenge your integrity. That isn't what this is about. This is about people's rights. And if those rights conflict with what you believe to be your personal rights, does not make somebody bad or wrong. It's to be determined in an appropriate way. So we're looking for due process. Due process on this whole issue has to do with this council sitting here determining if this is an appropriate use with the appropriate buffers. And we've gone through a long process, and to call a spade, we know what is going here is you want to delay this for the new council, hoping that you get enough votes to get what you want. And I have no idea what that vote would be. And there are all kinds of legal avenues, but to make statements challenging integrity or morals and doing the right thing is not a positive way to get support. There are those who spoke who went about it the right way, as far as I'm concerned. They expressed concerns without challenging or demeaning those with whom you are trying to get a decision. I, quite frankly, feel it's time that we move forward and put this to rest. I have listened to arguments for over 2 years about this is going to increase crime. There is no empirical data to say that it will increase crime. Traffic congestion, you have a major designated highway running through there. To the gentleman who said that all the noise was more than he anticipated when he got a decreased price on his home. Well, you knew it was a busy street when you bought it. Was it more than you anticipated? Probably so. But it was there to begin with. noise pollution, all the arguments that are thrown out there in that regard are not substantiated. The bottom line is you don't want it there, and you're taking every avenue you can to avoid having it there. And we as a council are to weigh all of those things and make a determination, and that's what we intend to do. So deferring it would only delay what I feel is going to happen anyway. Now, I can't guarantee what those votes would be, but I don't think that it's going to make that much of a difference, and I'm ready to move forward tonight.
Okay. Mr. Truitt.
Just for information purposes, when would this appeal to the Board of Appeals occur?
April 1st, Council Member.
April 1st is passed.
He's asking for the new one. I think it's in May.
May 13th.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand the question then.
May 13th is the date it would go to the Board of Adjustment, if that was the question.
That was my question. And then I think that I'm going to oppose the motion just to let that process happen. Not a 60-day continuance, but I'd be perfectly fine with letting that chip fall where it may, and then us hear it at a council meeting after that appeal had occurred.
Okay. Any other comments? Member Jones.
I forgot to mention one other thing. I keep hearing, not on just this case, but on several issues, when we go to make a decision, people are trying to say, well, you're just making that decision based on sales tax, and that's absolutely false. We're making decisions based on property rights, and that's very critical to our decision-making process. And I really take exception when people try and keep making the statement, you're only doing it for sales tax dollars, because that is absolutely false.
Right. Vice Mayor?
And I want to follow up, not on that, but on something I was going to correct that occurred, a comment. I just don't like to leave these things hanging out there. It was commented that we had denied your opportunity to speak at a study session a couple of times. We don't have anybody speaking at study sessions. The study sessions are for the council. And I want to make the public aware of that. It isn't that we selectively denied certain people the opportunity to speak. Anyone can request on our Thursday study sessions, they can put in an early request to the city clerk to speak. And so they can come for those times. But I don't want to leave the suggestion hanging out there that this council would, you know, allow certain people to speak and deny other people.
Okay. Any other comments?
Real quick.
Mike?
My position is to support the motion. However, I think it's very important, Mr. Brady, for city staff to make sure that we've got a document that explains all the options to people. And I know the zoning attorneys deal with this all the time, but sometimes it's not zoning attorneys. So if, you know, if somebody comes in and wants to file an appeal to file a legal protest, that they'd be told exactly how the process works. I'm not saying that they didn't, but I'm saying that I think we need to go that extra step to make sure that this process, which will probably never happen again, is well explained. Thanks.
Okay, we have a motion by... I think it was by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by Councilmember Wayland, for approval of zoning case Z08-05 with the stipulations. Would you please vote? Okay, the vote is 5 ayes and 2 nays, with Councilmember Walters and Councilmember Truitt voting nay, so it does pass this evening. All right. The next item is items from citizens present. Are there any requests to speak this evening?
No additional requests, Mayor.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second to adjourn? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.